Oh, yeah. All right, we're good to go. It's Fairfield County Live and Local, presented by the Sono Collection. I'm John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. And with me is not Alan Evans Trio, but he's in Alan Evans Trio. It's Chris Yunker. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man?
Thanks for being here, man. This is your second appearance on it's your first appearance on this show. It's your second appearance on one of my Live and Local podcasts.
Yeah,
man. So, Chris, you have played with so many people. The last time you were on my podcast was with Jen Durkin in the Business. We packed an entire 5-piece band into like the tiniest studio you've ever seen, and everybody plugged in, and somehow we were able to get some kind of coherent sound out of it. That was amazing. But yeah, dude, I mean, you've played with, On the Spot Trio, who we're going to talk a lot about tonight, Alan Evans Trio, and Alan Evans, new record label, which we're going to talk a lot about tonight, Vintage League Music. But how are you doing, man? How's your, you're living in Southern Vermont now. So how was the storm for you guys?
We weathered the storm just fine. We didn't really go anywhere. We just kind of stayed home, but we had 20 inches of snow and just went out and shoveled it and poked around in it.
I would say that's going to make for great snowboarding, but then I'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks before going up to Vermont. Right.
And after too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. Before and after. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I think Connecticut says that we're bad.
Right.
Vermont's bad. And then Vermont says that Connecticut is bad.
It's, so, tag, you're it, dude. Everybody's
yeah,
got
exactly.
Cooties.
Exactly.
Everybody's got the cooties.
It's bad. It's bad everywhere, unfortunately. But
yeah. So dude, yeah, thank you for coming on. This Sunday on 95.9 The Fox, for people who are watching this or who will watch this Sunday, we're going to be playing the entire Vintage League Music family album at 9 p.m. And you're featured on a ton of this album. You're kind of all over the place on it. You know, whether you're just you yourself on there, or whether it's, your project On the Spot Trio. And, I wanted to talk about On the Spot as a project, because you guys have become such a presence on the East Coast now.
Yeah.
But it didn't start out that way. You guys actually started in California, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the start of the band.
That's a crazy. So, in 2006, I saw a Craigslist ad for somebody looking for an organ player that played left-hand bass. And I was like, that's cool. But I was still young, and I'm like, man, they probably wouldn't like me. Whatever. I was like, very like, I'm not going to do anything about it.
Right.
But then, so I didn't write to it, but then the next day I was in a jazz appreciation class at Cabrillo College in Santa Cruz. And this dude like comes over and sits next to me. He's like, dude, you play organ? I was like, yeah. He's like, do you play left-hand bass with your organ? I was like, yeah. He said, cool. And I'm like, did you make a Craigslist ad about that? And he's like, yeah, we did. And sure enough, like, we just, hit it off right from the start. And then, Danny, that was Danny that I met.
I was going to say, was that Danny, the guitar player you went On the Spot?
Yeah. Yeah. That's we had the wild. Same class together. So, we just started like jamming together. And like, I think after two jams, he's like, I got this gig. And then it was called On the Spot. And we had his brother on bass and our drummer, our original drummer, Emery Nelson. And, we played for a few years from then on. And then we started getting more serious in like 2009.
Yeah.
And went on a tour, and we're like, this is good. This is going good. We were feeling really good about it. And we booked this show at the Boom Boom Room in San Francisco. This is like
great name.
Yeah. It's like a notorious place. If you've never heard of it.
Yeah.
It's like Johnny Lee Hooker's joint. There's like a seat that's designated for him still, the like all the like people that come to like check out the show. Like,
is there really? That's badass.
A little bit. And we knew that Soul Live was playing down the street at a jazz club, and I think Danny's friend at the time was tour managing them, and so we talked Kraz into coming and over and sitting in with us.
Eric Krasno, from Lettuce and from many other projects. Eric Krasno band, sure. No, yeah, exactly. Keep going.
Yeah, and then like Sam, like all the other dudes from Soul Eye were there. Sam Kinninger came in and sat in. Nigel Hall sat in, and then like Stanton Moore showed up out of nowhere and sat in.
It was this is such a great show.
It was a crazy night. It was really cool. And we met the whole band that night, and got to talking with Alan when we met him, and we heard that he recorded bands. So we talked about him recording our first record. So that's what happened. We came out to Massachusetts, recorded our OTS's first album, Straight Out the Garden, in 2009. And then, you know, like really hit it off with him, had a good time. Then we had to part ways with our drummer. He moved away. Mm. And we got this other drummer, Jeff Wilson, after that, like around 2010, and started like the music started growing and evolving to something different. And, you know, like this still the same, like funk, jazz kind of stuff.
Right.
But so this time for our second album, we flew Alan out to California and recorded our second album there called Shag. And, really hit it off even more with Al, had a good time. He went on played some shows with us whenever we were recording. We had like a 3-day tour and, or 3-day run of shows. And then, getting the story straight here.
I was wondering when you met, you know, Alan and Soul Live at that gig at the Boom Boom Room, how long had you guys been playing together at that point?
Like 3 years.
Okay. All right. So there was some time, but it's crazy to me because it seems like, you know, this, all of these different connections, you know, with Alan and with Krasno and with, you know, it, all of that kind of happened within on one night. I mean, that's wild because because it's now 10 years later or 11 years, I guess, if you guys started in 2006, it's 11 years later. Mm-hmm. And this is, I mean, you guys are all still kind of together, all still doing it. And now all part of this Vintage Music League family.
And so like Al picked up Danny into Alan Evans Trio at that point. Danny moved out here. And then I hopped on board with Alan Evans Trio and it was called Play On Brother. And then I moved out that's how I ended up moving out to the East Coast as well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, lots of other stuff happened. I ended up Play On Brother stopped playing for a minute. And then I was playing with Goose for like a year and doing all the Jen Durkin and the business stuff.
Right.
And then OTS ended up recording a couple of tracks on the East Coast after that whole Play On Brother thing happened with Mike Karuba from Turquoise.
Yeah.
And it was these two tracks that are two songs that we had written with our old drummer, but we never recorded. And so it was like kind of the remainder of the songs from California. And we finally got around to releasing that on Vintage League Records, Vintage League Music this year, 2020. It was our year to release these songs we recorded in what it was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we all have extra time now, so you might as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's the difference between the East Coast and the West Coast music scene? Is there a difference or is just music music?
There is a difference. I can't say for now because I haven't been over there in so long, but when I was there, it was more of the people that like to go to shows went to like electronic music.
Okay.
Shows there like and trying to be a new upcoming band in California was pretty tough because everything's so spread out.
Yeah.
In New England, everything's so compact. So you can get to like all kinds of venues and play tons of shows and build an audience really easily on the East Coast compared to the California. You gotta like go all the way down to LA, which is 6 hours away, or like you got to go up to Washington, which is 14 hours away. If you want to like hit different, like bigger markets.
Yeah. I never thought about that, but yeah, no. I mean, I guess we kind of, because we've got, you know, I mean, obviously New York and Boston being the two largest ones, but then of course there's Burlington, there's Portland, there's Providence, there's all of these places with this great, I mean, you know, Syracuse, not technically in New England, but still within that same kind of area, all of these great towns with their own individual kind of scenes and cultures in them, but all within, I mean, I think Syracuse is probably the furthest town that I just listed, and that's like a 5-hour drive, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it's not bad.
I never thought about it that way. Yeah, that is interesting.
The 5-hour drive we had was Tahoe, which that was a cool market to go mm-hmm. hit up. And then Reno's right next to there too. But yeah, everything's really spread out. And then I'd say like the other differences are really like stylistically. The East Coast is like, think of it like as the different energies. Like if you're familiar with it, like East Coast is very high energy, like yeah. get things done, like now, like do it. Let's like get everything done. So that the music's like that. It's like powerful and like in your face, like West Coast is more of a back attitude. Everybody's like, I'll get it done when it gets done, man. So like the music kind of reflects that attitude. And you can hear that like in our music too.
Yeah,
and those older albums, like it's got a more West Coasty vibe, like laid back vibe. And now, like the new track, it's more like mm-hmm. crunching in your face. We got so now we've gone through so many drummers. We had our first initial drummer, Emery Nelson, our second drummer, Jeff Wilson, who plays with Future Birds, and then Mike Karuba played with us for a while. And then
I saw you guys when Mike was playing with you guys. It was great.
Oh, it did. Yeah, was that in
it was at Bryak.
Black Rock. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was at Black Rock. It was I'm pretty sure it was a Bryak. No, it wasn't the acoustic, it was Bryak, yeah.
Oh, it would have I think the only place we played with Karuba was the place in between Bryak and the acoustic, right next to the acoustic. It was like for Black Rock Rocks Day.
Oh. Was it? Oh, Walrus?
No, what's the one right next to the acoustic? I can't think of the name.
Not the Totem.
Yeah, the Totog.
They wouldn't be able to fit you. Wasn't it the Totog?
We packed in there. There's you can see it. I think it's on YouTube.
It might have been the Totog then. Maybe I'm not remembering that correctly.
Yeah, Dave Peck, MK Devo recorded that. It's on YouTube.
Oh, right on. I'm gonna have to look that up. What do you like about the trio dynamic? So like just to like for people who are watching, just to put this in context, you know, we've referenced Alan Evans trio a couple of times, you know, mm-hmm. On the Spot trio. Danny is, you know, Danny Mayer trio, who I've seen, you know, who I've seen before. It's a pattern with you and with the musicians that you work with and work around. What about that particular dynamic, the trio dynamic, are you attracted to?
It's like a freedom because you don't have as many people. Like the more people you get involved, the more tight knit you got to be and like make sure that all your parts are on point, and you can't really like astray too far, especially like once you start getting up into 7, 8, 10 people. But there's this magic thing that happens with a trio. Maybe it has something to do with like a triangle or like geometry or something. And I'm sure that's involved with it. But like, especially since I'm covering bass lines, like where I'm at, I'm covering with covering bass and melodic ideas. I can like kind of take it wherever it wants to go and also just like follow Danny melodically. I'm the only melodic person following another melodic person, and then we have a drummer who's like supporting the whole thing and you know, laying down their part. But yeah, there's just so many places you can go with a trio that you can't really go with more people in a group, because there's I guess it's like clearer communication on a subconscious level, and as well as like telepathic level. It's clearer and streamlined because there's not as many people involved. Like it's easier to get to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, what I was going to ask was, is it, Is it like a form of telepathy? Because I've heard great musicians argue both sides, that it really is just some like sixth sense kind of thing. And then other people who are just like, you know, you just get used to people, you pick up on visual cues, it's body language. Like,
auditory cues too.
Auditory. Yeah. Oh, but yeah.
You get to know how the other person plays, and you know what to expect from them and know how to support them. And it gets to the point, you know, like anytime I'm on a gig with Danny, it's just like, I don't even have to think about what to do with him, because we've been playing together for so long, and it just, things just like happen. And then it's the cool thing about that too, is now that we don't play with each other as much, cause he's got Star Kitchen going on. He lives in Philly. Mm. When we do get together, it's like, whoa, you picked that up. And we like discover what the other person's been up to.
Oh, so you can not only do you link back in with each other immediately, but you link back in and then also pick up on the new stuff that they've been playing since the last time.
Yeah.
You guys got together.
This last time we got together with A3, like both of us were just laughing at each other. Like, it gets so exciting to like see what the other person has like been doing and working on.
Without even having to talk about it. You just play through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cause a lot of what we do is really just, we have the shells of a song, of all of our songs. And then really we chalk it up to the moment and what's going on in that moment, and do a lot of improv based on that shell of a song that we have.
Right. I mean, it's a very, the obvious example is, I guess, the Meters, which is, you know, what most people would recognize. It's just, you know, you've got the hook, and then you kind of work around it. You work around that individual riff. I was listening to, what was it, Soul Banshee off of one of your older albums just a little while ago. Just the way that you kind of take an idea and just get every bit of meat off of that.
Yeah.
It speaks to the connection that the two of you have. So my question is, you mentioned earlier that there's so many drummers that you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to incorporate a new person into this real connection that you and Danny have? Because you guys have 15, you know, something, you know, almost 15 years of playing together. You know what I mean? What's it like bringing a new person into that dynamic?
I think it's just interesting to see what different people's takes are on the tunes. Cause, you know, we can like say, like, listen to what the drummer was playing and like, but it's still due to the nature of our music, and it'll usually just be whatever that drummer's take is on the song. So I guess it's just exciting to see what they all do with it. We had Andrew Cusinelli from Blue Eyed Blackbird for the majority of like the years that we lived out here on the East Coast. He was our drummer. He was awesome, man. He brought it whenever we had those gigs. But now he ended up moving out to Tennessee, and we've got Andrew Klein on board from Big Mean Sound Machine now.
Yeah.
That just kind of happened. Like, so, you know, Alan was talking to me about those two release, Alan Evans,
yeah.
With VLM was talking to me about these two singles we just put out with OTS. And was like, dude, I really want to hear a new album from you guys. Do you think you can put that together? And I was like, yeah, we should. But our drummer left for Tennessee, and I was thinking, like, Andrew hit me up a while back, yeah, about doing something together. So I was like, hey, Danny, what do you think about hitting up this guy from Big Mean Sound Machine? And I don't know if you've listened to Shag, but it has a lot of elements inspired by Afrobeat music. And it's not really like Afrobeat. I wouldn't call it Afrobeat music, but like it definitely takes from that style.
Yeah.
And if you know Big Mean Sound Machine, that's like their whole thing. They were a Afrobeat orchestra. So it just kind of like made sense to like go in that direction with Andrew Klein. And man, like he sent us a drum track and like I put something on it and then Danny put something on it and we're like, all right, this is cool.
My other question was going to be, how long does it take someone to get up to speed with you guys? But it sounds like it was pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, we haven't played a gig with them yet.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. I know it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what he does to all these tunes.
Oh, you got to be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Because you've just been like outside of the live setting for so long. I was talking just specifically with this new guy, but no, of course, all of us just in general, like it displays. I mean, it's just the stuff of nightmares. But
have you played many gigs?
No, dude. Oh yeah. My God, no. I mean, yeah. There's the first part of 2020, it was just kind of me like getting used to being a dad. You know what I mean? Oh, like it just like kind of like focusing on that. But then I had plans for the spring and the summer, man. I was pumped. I was like, I got some stuff that's in the works. That's gone now. Yeah. That's gone now. Yeah. That's all done.
I think I played like two shows, and one was a stream event, that Mango event.
Yeah. 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 And rest in peace, Joe Mango, by the way. Yeah, dude. Actually, you know what? It's funny. I just Brian just chimed in. Loving seeing you sitting in with Goose.
Yeah, that was fun, man. I was so happy they asked me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I had a lot of fun at that. It was, I didn't know what to expect because I was like, 60 people in a room. I'm not like a big room, but like, everybody handled it well. There was nobody got sick from it, so that was good.
All I heard from that event was how careful people were being and how responsibly done that it was, man.
Yeah, it was powerful to see all of those people again and be in that setting. It was like, I remembered this. it was very cathartic and felt good, and it was, and of course, like it. And like it was somber and just felt really good to pay homage to such an amazing human being.
That, such a presence on this. I mean,
a staple of the whole area.
No, big time. And if you don't know about Joe Mango, you should find out. This guy was, we have Soup Stock thanks to him. We have, if you ever saw a show at the Bryak. If you ever played a show at the Bryak, he made you sound better than you really were. And I say that from personal experience.
He was the only sound tech that I would trust to turn down my equipment.
I never one time did he not tell me to turn down. I had to turn down every single time, but it worked. It always worked.
Yeah.
And I was always skeptical, and I was always wrong.
Yeah.
Every time. Every time. Oh, God. Oh man, yeah, that was an incredible event. God, what a guy. It really is just too bad.
Yeah. So I did that, and then I played a random gig at the New Park Brewery with Fuzz and Adrian.
That's fun.
For a sit down audience. It was cool. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
I love playing with those dudes.
Yeah, dude.
Another trio.
right, exactly. See, that's what I'm saying, man. Noticing a theme. All right, before I let you go, I gotta ask you about Vintage League Music. Sorry, I always mix that up. I always say Vintage Music League by accident. But by Vintage League Music, brand new record label from Alan Evans. Alan, who you of course have so much history with, have worked with for so long. Tell me about working with him now as a label head.
It's been great. We've done like the Alan Evans Trio thing. I've been recording my music over at his studio, Iron Wax Studios. I recorded my solo album there, and I just love working with him. He just understands music in a way that like makes sense to me. And we have also put on, what we did, this other band, I guess it's like our duo, we were making lo-fi beats, and then it ended up just being like a cool project called 7 Day Weekend.
That's cool. And
that's out on the record label. He put that record label together with his partner, his business partner in the UK, Rob Fleming. His band company. So it's kind of like the two of them, it's the two of them, like, whole thing. So they've got the stronghold in the UK and the stronghold out here in the States, like, working together to build this cool label. But I think most of the bands,
multinational, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Most of the bands that are on it are in the US, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've had a chance to listen to this compilation album, which, you know, features, is it every single person who's signed to the label who's featured on this thing?
I think so.
Right.
Pretty sure. Yeah. It's everybody that's been involved so far.
It's just such a cool, funky mixed bag of just of so much. There's so much interesting music on this thing, which is why I'm happy. And for people who, I you know, if you just tuned in, we're going to be playing all of Vintage League Music Family album, which is you know, the new compilation album from Vintage League Music, Chris Yunker's label.
I wouldn't say my label, but
fair. OTS's label. Yeah. Well, no, sorry. It's the label you're signed to, is what I meant to say. It's Alan Evans's label that you are signed to. So you're labeling that sense, but
I got you.
But yeah, dude, we're gonna be playing that this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox. It's at 9 p.m. You can check it out. You're gonna hear Chris all over this thing, whether it's, you know, with the guys in OTS, whether it's you know, with people you play with in Alan Evans Trio, or new people. And dude, I'm looking forward to sitting down, spinning the entire thing, and you know, letting some fresh ears listen to it, man. It's gonna be great. I can't wait.
Right on, man.
Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Everybody enjoys it. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, dude. Any last minute plugs, anything you got coming up, anything you want people to know about?
Yeah. One of the tracks that I'm really excited about on there is a song that I wrote last year, and I got Mike Dillon and Will Bernard involved with it, as well as the horn players from the BT ALC big band, which they are also on. They have a track on this record.
Sweet.
So then, yeah, just definitely check out this brand new compilation disc from VLM.
What's the name of your song?
Slammin'.
Sorry, say that one more time. It skipped.
Slammin' is the name of the track. Yeah.
Slammin'. So make sure I misspelled it. I was gonna have it like pop up on the screen and be so cool, but I spelled salmon instead of slamming, which is not how it's supposed to go. Chris, dude, thank you so much for being here tonight, man.
Yeah, pleasure
absolutely.
To be here.
Sunday night on 95. Absolutely, brother. Sunday night, 95.9 The Fox. We're gonna play all of Vintage League Music's Family album. It's gonna feature Chris Yunker and many other incredible musicians. Thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for supporting live and local music in Fairfield County. Save our stages, support local artists, and listen this Sunday night. Chris, thanks again, bro.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too.